Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. The death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Show. I'd like to thank you for coming and I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you've never been there, Charlotte Dively's show, Prophetic Art Class, is a class on Christian art. So if you enjoy Christian art, I recommend you go in there and you can find it on a Facebook app. And all you have to do is go to the top of the page into the search engine and put in Newt Now, N-E-W-T-N-O-W, in one word, and there are just a few clicks away from being to her show, and also on the page you will see a number of shows, this one included, Bard's Logic Political Talk. And you also see Samuel Sanford's show, which is from 10 p.m. to midnight, or sometimes 1 a.m. You will also see another show by Charlotte, which is Pray USA. And then you'll see two shows by Mark Prasik, which is a live video chat in which you can talk directly with a headset or, if you like, a video aspect. You do not need to have a webcam or a headset in order to participate, because they do have a chat option, just like they have a chat option here at Blog Talk Radio. Now, on Wednesdays, we have people who are either, we've had authors on my Wednesday shows, we're going to have playwrights later, and people who have their own online businesses, and people who have other businesses. Wednesday nights, we kind of move away from the politics a little bit. Since it is a political show, politics does always find, not always, but a lot of times finds its way creeping into here in order to, when we're promoting the show. So it happens. But tonight we have, and tonight might be one of those shows as well, because what we have today, this evening I should say, is an interview with Robert Buff, and he is the owner of Global Equal Soil Solutions. And he is going to speak about the business itself and the website they have, what the motivation behind the business, moving forward and creating an industry with this business, and how the business industry will help the environment. Now, normally on Thursdays is also what I call Green Thursdays or Green Conservatism, which what we talk about is changing the paradigm of top-down, government control of handling the environment, sustainability, and conservation to a more grounds-up approach towards environmental protection, conservation, and sustainability. And that's usually what we, some of what we cover on Thursday nights. Like last Thursday, we had Arlen Williams on the show, and we are working on something to get him back on the show, possibly as early as next week, and we're hoping to create a series with them about Agenda 21 and having that be, we're working against Agenda 21 and bringing, which is a top-down approach to the green conservatism, which is, I said, a bottom-up approach. So that's what we're working on for theirs. But to give a little explanation to green conservatism, which, as I said, I normally cover on my Thursday show, but since this business, I think, actually can be a part and is a part of what I would consider the green conservatism movement. And to give the audience, both in the chat and listening out there, and those who will listen later in the archives, if you have never heard of green conservatism before, I will be going to play a clip here to give a flavor of what green conservatism is.
From the shores of Maine to the beaches of Hawaii, America is defined by its natural beauty. Most Americans have a healthy respect for our environment. They want government to ensure that we have clean air and water, and they want to preserve America's parks and wildlife for future generations. Many Americans also believe that new science and technology are key to solving our environmental challenges, not government regulation and litigation. Despite the broad agreement among Americans, the political debate in Washington has become even more divided. Liberals accuse conservatives of not caring about the environment, and conservatives accuse liberals of sacrificing a healthy economy and individual freedom for the environment. As a result, issues like climate change and energy development have become lightning rods for controversy, and progress has been blocked by politics.
I think somehow in the 1980s, the environment became seen as liberal versus conservative, but it shouldn't be.
In his book, A Contract with the Earth, Newt argues that conservatives need to develop a green conservatism.
Green conservatism is the recognition that the basic principles of conservatism, market orientation, incentives, the work ethic, focus on science and technology and engineering, practical realism, all of these can be brought to bear to actually create better solutions faster than bureaucracy, litigation, big government, regulation.
Newt emphasizes the need for more energy from clean coal, nuclear, solar, wind, biofuel, oil, and natural gas. In 2008, Newt and I hosted a documentary about America's vast energy potential. Our movie, We Have the Power, argues that America can have a clean, abundant, and affordable energy supply. But what about climate change, an issue that has become contentious in recent elections? Conservatives and liberals disagree over the cause, much less how to solve it. Again, Newt stresses the importance of conservatives offering better solutions.
I don't think that the catastrophist left has enough evidence to say for sure that we're going to have global warming and it'll be a disaster. And I don't think that the anti-global warming right has enough evidence to say for sure that there won't be global warming. And so the question for me becomes, if the word conservatism implies conserving things, and if it implies caution, then what's the right cautionary strategy?
So what is the future for green conservatism? With the White House and Congress controlled by Democrats, is there really a market for conservative solutions on the environment?
I think it's going to be a very clear choice, and as this economy gets worse, people are going to want a sound economy and a good environment. They're not going to want to destroy the economy in the name of the environment. Hi, I'm Newt Gingrich.
And I'm Calista Gingrich. We believe that a healthy environment must be designed to coexist with a growing economy.
Today, new science and technology can create better solutions than government regulation and litigation.
Market incentives such as tax credits and prizes will encourage scientific and technological breakthroughs.
On the other hand, tax increases will kill jobs, reduce the amount of available energy, and weaken the economy.
To learn more about America's potential to develop affordable, abundant, and clean energy, Newt and I encourage you to check out our movie, We Have the Power.
And to learn more about green conservatism, Terry Maple and I encourage you to take a look at our book, A Contract with the Earth.
America is blessed with natural resources and innovative opportunity.
With your help, we can make America the global leader in conservation for future generations.
Okay, folks, I'm going to reiterate about green conservatism. That clip was to give an illustration. If you have not heard of it before, as I said earlier, before I played the clip, looked like I might have technical difficulty, so I'll repeat it, is that green conservatism is the bottoms-up approach, is instead of a, what you've probably heard Newt Gingrich talk about, was a top-down approach. So that is, someone in the chat, I want to check something out. Either Kathy or in the chat says, New Orleans, wake up. When I gave the introduction of the show before the clip, were you able to hear it? So if you can just put in the chat and put yes, whether yes or no. Okay, I'm not seeing anything. No, okay. Well, great. Well, thank you very much, Kathy. What I'll do is, okay, I believe I corrected the problem. And what we're going to do tonight is I have an interview with Robert Buff, who is the owner of Global EcoSoil Solutions. And what he's going to, the interview is he's going to speak about the business and also discuss the website and what was the motivation behind the business. And moving forward in creating an industry and how the business industry will help the environment. We also may discuss how the business or an industry is, as I said, a bottom-up approach, a grassroots, if you will, approach, in contrast with a top-down governmental approach to protecting the environment and addressing conservation and sustainability. Now, as I said earlier, it sounds like you might have missed, is that, oh, okay, well, he said I was talking when I got on, so maybe I did, but if that bears repeating. So thank you very much, New Orleans, wake up. Appreciate it. It bears repeating is that normally, yes, as I said, normally on Thursday nights, I cover, which I call Green Thursdays or Green Conservatism, which was a phrase not coined by me, but you've probably heard it, is coined by Newt Gingrich. And that's actually one of the reasons why, you know, I'm a big Newt Gingrich supporter is because he is a conservative, and yet he looks for market-based, you know, new technology, science, and entrepreneurship, which you'll hear tonight in the gentleman who's going to call, Mr. Buff, and addressing those things with, you know, sustainability, environmental protection, and conservation. And as I said, normally I cover those topics on Thursdays. You know, and as I said, Wednesdays, usually I get away from, you know, the political aspect, but as a political show, sometimes that does inadvertently creep into the program. But, you know, be that as it may, I do try on Wednesday nights to try to move away from, you know, the politics aspect of it. Now, one of the things that was mentioned when describing green conservatism is tax incentives. And, you know, or tax credits in order to, you know, promote green technologies. So I will play another clip while we wait for our interviewee to come in, our guest to come in tonight. And this will be Newt Gingrich and him talking about the effects and what we could use tax credits for.
Fora TV, the world is thinking.
I favor sweeping change, but I prefer doing it through the tax code. So I would have tax credits and other incentives that accelerate individual decisions across the whole country without having to have a bureaucracy. I mean, if you'll tell me what you think cap and trade will change in terms of the variable cost of carbon, I'd be happy to have a tax credit for eliminating the use of carbon that was exactly the same economic effect without a centralized bureaucracy. And I think any economist will tell you, you'll get more change faster in a decentralized, market-oriented way with a tax credit than you will with a federal cap. For example, if you really wanted to accelerate the adoption of hybrids, make half the cost differential a tax credit. You will overnight explode the sale of hybrids.
And you would do that, you would fund that through a carbon tax?
No, I wouldn't worry about funding it right now.
Because the numbers are so negligible that it's not an issue?
Because every time people turn around and say, you can't do something smart unless you do something dumb. And that's not how, you know, we built the transcontinental railroads with a combination of cash and land. We didn't actually try to figure out how we were going to balance that off by raising taxes on stagecoaches. We said, we want to get this done, let's go do it. And the fact is, if you looked at the differential amount of oil you'd have, now, here's where you get a secondary effect nobody's thought about. If we get the breakthrough we want, you're going to use radically less gasoline. If you use radically less gasoline, you just broke up the transportation financing system of every state in the country. I mean, if we cut out half the gasoline purchased in 3 years from now, which many people think would be a wonderful thing to do, you go to Harrisburg and say, oh, my God, this interesting as a result. Pennsylvania just broke out. We're not buying all this gasoline. And by the way, here's what just happened to your budget for highways. So a lot of second and third order effects. In terms of hydrogen cars, I have a very simple proposal. The federal government ought to offer a huge, let's say $500 million range, subsidy to 3 metropolitan areas if the states will match them. And say any state that wants to come in and match the subsidy, only 3. But we will create a hydrogen distribution system. The most desirable would be LA because it's the biggest and it has the most strict rules. And here's why I do that. You don't actually need in the first phase to build a hydrogen distribution system for the whole country. What you need to do is build a hydrogen distribution system in a couple of big metropolitan areas, learn how to do it, in the process have proof of concept, and have enough hydrogen cars. And if you look at the California emission standards, if you could offer them 20% of their cars in 20 years would be hydrogen, you just solve the whole problem.
Indeed, California has tried this, right? They call it the hydrogen highway.
No, and that's a step in the right direction. What Schwarzenegger announced, which is a localized, geographically focused development of a hydrogen distribution system, is the way it will initially occur, I think.
Okay, folks, I believe the rest of that was just some sound. And we're waiting for our guest speaker to come in. And for those who just came into the chat and onto the show, tonight I'm interviewing Robert Buff. He is the owner of Global EcoSoil Solutions. And when he comes in, he's going to talk about subsoil pressurized irrigation. And he's going to talk about, of course, the business itself. They do have a website, so he's going to be talking about that. And also, what was the motivation behind the business, how they plan to move forward in their business and possibly in creating an industry of it, and how the business and the industry will help the environment. And we may also discuss how the industry or business approaches the bottom-up approach that I would like to see, which is a contrast with the top-down government approach to protecting the environment, I should say, and addressing conservation and sustainability. And the business he is going to tell us about definitely fits, I would say, all three of those. So he says, as I say, he's about to come in about 10 minutes. So he is open use bug spray, Mark. Kathy, see if you would have said that on my Thursday night show, which is Green Conservatism, which is when I cover environmental issues, I would have to kick you off of the chat. Okay, I'm just joking, Cindy. I wouldn't really kick you out of the chat by saying that. I'm just joking, Kathy. So I'm just joking. I like to interject humor sometimes into the show. So, anyway, I digress. So one thing I also do on Wednesday nights is I try to move away a little bit from politics for those who just came in. It, of course, always creeps in because, I see a lot of things through the prism of politics. So I try to mold away from it. But one thing I do here is I also – this guy is a business we're going to talk to tonight, but I also have people who write books, such as I had last week. I had Ted Krim, an author of – fantasy fiction books, and we also had Sean Henneman, and he actually had a book called Wisdom, which is about helping marriages, beginning marriages, so marital conflict. So as you can see, those really have nothing to do with politics. Those topics have nothing to do with politics whatsoever. And if you missed those shows, you can go to the homepage and find them in the archives. And for the people in here tonight, well, I've already, if you're on archives, if you like this show, one way to, advance the show is you can be a follow. You just go to the homepage and you click under the icon follow and you can follow the show, which I'd really appreciate if you did. Now, speaking of books, since I do like to promote authors, one author I would like to promote, even though he is not here, and he's not going to call into the show, but I'm hoping one day I will get the opportunity to speak with him about his books, and that would be Newt Gingrich. But here I have a clip here while we're waiting. It's only about 3 minutes, not even that, on Newt's book, Contract with the Earth, which he also co-wrote with Terry Maple. And here we go.
Fora TV, the world is thinking.
Contract with the Earth is designed to start a new conversation on two very different fronts. It's designed, and Terry and I set out after years of conversation to do this quite deliberately. We both love animals. We both spent large parts of our career focused on animals. I wanted to be a zoo director when I was a child, or a vertebrate paleontologist. My two favorite institutions were the Bronx Zoo and the American Museum of Natural History. And I really loved the natural world. When I became a teacher in 1971, I taught in the Second Earth Day, and then I became the coordinator of environmental studies at West Georgia College. Both my daughters used to go with us, and we would take classes for a week down to the Okefenokee Swamp and just try to get them invested in how rich and extraordinary and complex the natural world is, and how diverse it is, and how fascinating it is. And so I come out of that background in general, and we work with E.O. Wilson and others in trying to save the Endangered Species Act. I engage in a number of other activities as the Republican whip. I helped pass the Air Pollution Act, the Clean Air Act of 1990, which created the first cap-and-trade program for sulfuric acid and to save the lakes in the Northeast. And I've been actively involved in a variety of other programs along that line. We wanted to have two conversations in one book. We wanted to say to conservatives, don't be so put off by proposals on the left that you decide to yell no. Because when you yell no, people don't just hear you yelling no about a proposal, they think you're yelling no about the environment. And the fact is that 95% of the American people believe we have an obligation to protect the legacy that God has given us. We literally just did a series of surveys at American Solutions. We did six national surveys. Out of about 180 questions, the highest support was on protecting the legacy that we've been given by our Creator. And it brings people together whether you're right or left.
Okay, folks, and the rest of that was just that annoying music that you heard that I'm going to have to trim out of that audio clip. But I do say that our guest speaker is here, and this is Robert Buff, to talk about the business subsurface pressurized irrigation.
Hello.
Hello, Robert. How are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you, Rob.
Great.
And
thank
thanks
you
for having me on your show.
Thank
you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome very much. I tell you what, if you don't mind, we could just hop right to it and get you started. If you'd like to tell us about the business, about subsoil pressurized irrigation, go ahead.
Okay, yes, it's a subsurface pressurized irrigation system.
Yes,
and what that means is, yes, and it's 6 to 8 inches under the surface, and it reduces your watering by up to 80% over your traditional waterhead. And it also reduces your watering by up to 30% over your drip systems, and it also reduces your costs on fertilization. And when you have our system in the root zone, the way that we're able to save the water is because we're watering in the root zone where the water needs to be. As opposed to your sprinkler heads, when the droplet leaves the sprinkler heads, it's going to get blown by the wind. Some of it's going to dissipate up from the heat and evaporate. Some of it's going to fall on the canopy, like your leaves or your brush, and it's going to evaporate from there. And the other is going to fall into the soil. And the ones that, the droplets that fall on the soil, they have to work their way 6 inches to the subsurface so the plant can uptake it. And that's right where we start. So that's how we're able to conserve a lot of the water. And then furthermore, we keep the top dry, sealing in the moisture underneath, so it takes a short watering cycle and very little water to sustain that moisture, and the plants will then thrive. And we also have aeration capabilities.
Great. Now, you also have a website that's associated with the business, correct?
Yes. The website is www.globalecosoilsolutions.com.
And one thing I'll do here, Robert, is a great name, Rob. Now I'm just that's mine too. So. let's see. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to copy and I'm going to put the link in the chat so the people in the chat, you know, can go and they can check it out if they like.
Good.
Now, you're based in California, correct?
Yes, we're in Southern California where we've always had water issues and we're always under some type of water restrictions, you know, and so this is where the Earth Mister was developed, is right here in Southern California.
And is this the system that you designed, or you designed or how's the system designed?
Okay, it was designed by the founder, Ken Richardson, and he designed it 6 years ago, and he was looking for a better way to grow. So he started out with just a regular pipe with the holes in it and figured out quickly that didn't work because the further down the line that you go, the less water comes out until finally no water comes out. And so then he started experimenting and tinkering, and what he came up with was the Earth Mister. And the Earth Mister is not just a single pipe. It's a dual pipe that has a reservoir and a delivery system, and it pressurizes up your city water pressure, and so it gives equal distribution all the way down the line and water uniformity.
Now, also, you know, if you want to, you know, describe more specifics on the website, and I urge the people in the audience, if you can open up a yet another browser, to check out the website while he's going over it. I think that'd be a good visual for the audience in order to, you know, see what he's talking about. And then you can kind of maybe go through it and walk them through, you know, your website.
Because we can do that. It's what it is, and what they will probably wonder is what it's made out of. It's made out of PVC. So
mm-hmm.
it's a rigid PVC, unlike your drip system or your drip tape, you know, that's kind of flexible, and or your Netafim that is flexible. This one is rigid PVC, and it's a delivery system also that delivers air. And what you'll see on the website is the types of applications that we do. You know, and we do all types of applications where there is irrigation, be it residential or commercial, raised bed gardens, you name it, and we'll be there, drought tolerant. It's anywhere there's watering is where you'll find the Earth Mister. And remember, there's no other system out there that can conserve water like the Earth Mister without stressing out the grow. And that's what's important, because you can always turn your water down and turn it down low to conserve water, but then your plants are going to be under stress. And what the Earth Mister does is it conserves water without stressing your plants, because it's right in the root zone. And then after every watering cycle, and this is very important for your growth, is all the water drains from the Earth Mister. So the next time the watering cycle comes on, it acts as a plunger and pushes the air right through the root, right out of the Earth Mister into the root zone. So the root zone gets that aeration, and we all know that the roots need some type of oxygen. Therefore, the microlife can flourish. The roots need the oxygen to uptake, and therefore, everything builds the immune, the root vents, the massivity of the root zone becomes denser, therefore the plant becomes healthier and less susceptible to diseases. And this is all done through the Earth Mister. And therefore, we're thinking of the Earth Mister in more of a futuristic terms as a delivery system as opposed to an irrigation system, because it delivers, and it delivers multiple things. We all know it delivers water in a very conservative way, but also delivers liquid nutrients or fertilizers into the root zone, and it delivers air. So therefore, you have the perfect delivery system to give to your plant and make it healthy. When you apply your liquid fertilizers on top or your organic fertilizers, they have to work down into the root zone in order to be effective. But with our delivery system, the Earth Mister puts it there immediately.
And you mentioned a term that, while the term itself would be self-explanatory, but if you could elaborate, if you could, on what a microlife is.
Okay, well, the microlife is really all about a balanced soil, because your plant needs the microlife, you know, in order to stay healthy and become a rich, healthful plant. And the microlife is in the soil, and it creates a symbiotic relationship between the plant itself and the microlife, and therefore they feed back and forth to each other, and that raises the carbohydrates and the sugars in the plants, and the plant becomes healthier. Now, the microlife, you know, your microorganisms, they can have a lifespan anywhere from 2 minutes to 2 hours, and you can fit millions of them just on the head of on a teaspoon. And when they die and decompose, their decomposition is rich nitrogen that the plant is able to uptake naturally. Now,
right.
When you fertilize with inorganic fertilizers, that causes a microlife to go dormant or actually will kill them off. And therefore, you have to keep fertilizing with inorganic fertilizers. So the key to a healthy soil and a healthy grow is a balanced soil, and that's what you get through your microlife and building your microlife in the soil.
Okay, yeah, I heard the term, and I found it interesting. I know it plays an important part. And one thing that, you know, I know of is when you talk about when they decompose, that they supply the much-needed nitrogen that, you know, that the plants need.
Yes, yes. And that's how, you know, we got this far without any type of fertilizers. You know, it's you got the rich microorganisms in the soil and creating that microlife, and it's just a symbiotic relationship, and that balances the soil. You know, and it's not just dirt, you know, it's soil. dirt is something that gets on your clothes when you bring in the house and brush off, but the soil is aligned with microlife feeding the plants and the plants flourishing in a natural, organic way.
Right, right. And you mentioned, on one of our phone conversations, you mentioned these little nodules of it was a water nodules that you talked about. It's a new technology. Or the air nodules that attach itself to the roots to slowly release water?
Right. What that is, it's a polymer, and what it does is you put it in the root zone, and you put it 6 to 8 inches under the surface, and then you water. And when you water this polymer, it's about the size of a thumbtack, the head of a thumbtack, and that blows up with water, and it retains this water. And then the root will grow right into that, what looks like a small ice cube. And it grows into that and then starts extracting the water from that. So this is a further way to conserve water because it's holding the water. And then, like I say, the root is uptaking the water right from that cube. And therefore, you have less runoff because you're retaining water. So you have the earth mister, which is giving you a short water burst, which is all you need. Then you have these polymers which soak up the water, and they're very safe, you know, and non-toxic, and that furthers the water conservation efforts, but it also it holds the soil in, so there's no runoff, which is also important.
Okay, great. I actually, a part of Blog Talk Radio is, you know, other people call in. Sometimes they call in to listen. Sometimes they call in to ask questions or make comments. So would you? I'm going to we'll let someone in, if that's okay with you. You know,
okay.
And I don't know if they have a question or comment, but if you're open to any of those, I'm going to go ahead and let them in and see if, what they've got to say, okay? And they might just
be
calling just to listen, but I won't be able to know until I let them in. All right,
okay.
Thank you, Robert.
Okay,
954, I'm going to let you in, and we'll see whether you're just here to listen or if you are, you know, have any questions for Robert, so... Okay, 954, thank you for calling in. You're using this line to listen in, or did you have any questions or comments for Robert? Hello?
Robert, hi.
Oh,
yes.
How you doing, Harriet? Are you using... Huh?
I'm your new listener. I just signed in. I just
signed
in and was listening to a very interesting conversation. And I just want to say hi and wish you good luck, and you're doing fine. And I'm just going to listen in.
Okay, great.
Great.
And if you haven't had the opportunity to follow the show, and
talk
to
Awesome,
that's great. Yes, just go to the homepage underneath the icon, just click follow. So that being said, okay, Harriet,
I already registered in on your show.
Oh, that's awesome.
I already registered in on Facebook, yes.
That's great. Thank you very much. And I think in order to follow, you have to go to the actual homepage of my show on Blog Talk Radio. Yes, that's how you follow. You go to Blog Talk Radio and you find Bard's Logic Political Talk, and then you just click there's a little icon that you see when I promote the show on Facebook, and underneath it is a little follow button. You just click that, and there you go.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you don't have to do that now. I mean, well, you could while you're on the phone, but... Thank you very much, and I'll mute your microphone unless there's any questions you might have or anything else you'd like to say.
No. If I do, I'll chime in. I'll stay right here and listen.
Okay, great. You'll be in the chat. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Let me go ahead and mute your mic then. Thanks again, Harriet.
Okay.
Okay. There we go. Thank you very much, Robert. I really appreciate you letting the people come in and have some say and ask them questions if anyone has any later. Or maybe sometimes they, you know, sometimes they ask in the chat. But go ahead. Oh, there she is. I see her in chat. I see her name. That's great. So, go ahead, Robert. Sorry if I interrupted you. You're talking about the nodules, and you're talking about how it releases the water and some nutrients.
Yeah, that's the polymers, which is something that is enhanced with our system and also enhanced with their system. And there's other technologies out there that do that. And this leads us to our business model and what we actually do with our Earth Mister, and that leads to not just selling the Earth Mister, but to offer the Earth Mister and to offer a service with other technologies like the polymers and to read the soil with the soil sensors and to basically manage the water and to lower the cost. And we can do this for municipalities, for our multi-home, our multi-family businesses, the people that really don't have time, and a lot of times that they miss the fact that they have a broken sprinkler head or they have water that is running off on the cement. These are things that we can offer them with a service that goes along with the Earth Mister. And so it's more like bringing the service into the 21st century. It's not just watering now. It's about watering and managing our water and managing it specifically, because you can make any type of conservation device or water conservation system out there. It's still up to the user to conserve water. And because we know the Earth Mister, we can offer a service. And in doing so, we can lower costs to cities and multifamily units and commercial buildings and sites in doing so. So this is what we're looking at doing with the Earth Mister. It's not just conserving water, but helping you manage the water and using different technologies to do this. And they're cutting-edge technologies also.
Now, I believe I heard somewhere that you guys recently, or maybe perhaps you're still working on it now, is there a stadium or something that you guys are working with right now?
Well, right now, you know, and there's one stadium that we're actually in on the side of the field, and that's in Kashima, Japan, and that's one of the stadiums where they played the World Cup soccer back in 2002, and the way that we were in there is they were having problems growing mushrooms on the field, and so they brought in different irrigation devices, and ours being one of them, and tested them, and it turns out because we're able to keep the surface dry and the moisture in the root zone, therefore, the mushrooms couldn't grow. So they use this on the side of the field where they grow the turf to replace the divots, you know, during the soccer, after soccer matches and whatnot. And now they're ready to use this in the next stadium that they build. They're going to use the Earth Mister. They've already sent us the specs for it and what they needed. And so we're in the process of negotiating with them. And they're going to build a couple more stadiums and use the Earth Mister also.
But great. Is there any stadiums over in California that you guys have been working with or talking to?
Well, you know, there's a new stadium that we in Southern California are really excited about, and that's going to be over in Walnut, and it's being built by Majestic Realty and the Roski Group, and they're high-class people who know how to bring a sports team to the Southern California area. And we've been in a couple of meetings with them to offer them our services, and we're invited back to another meeting. So we hope to be in not only just the football field there, but all around the property, helping them to conserve water and be the best, you know, stadium that you're going to have, because this stadium is going to be a fantastic stadium, not just a football stadium, but a year-round attraction for people to come and see. They'll have a Nokia Theater, some concerts. They have sports fields outside the stadium. They'll have the team that is housed there. So it's going to be a whole attraction, and it's going to be a state-of-the-art stadium. You're going to have 8 entrances and exits. You know, you're not going to have a hard time getting in and out of this stadium. Everything's going to flow. It's just the most well-planned stadium, and you can go on the Internet and look at that under lastadium.com, and it's the one in Walnut, not the one in downtown. And it's one being built by the Roski Group, and that's Taylor Taltz, who's a project manager, and he's doing a fantastic job putting that stadium together.
Now, since we're on the topic of locations, are there any other states that you're in at this time? Or
I'm sorry, say it again?
Are there any other states that you guys work in right now other than California?
Yes, as a matter of fact,
I'd love to have some like this in Ohio is why I'm asking.
Actually, we have some in Michigan and Ohio. A lot of our business throughout the United States this year has been in the raised bed garden business, because our system just fits so well in the raised bed garden. In other words, you put it right in the middle of your raised bed garden. It's 6 inches under the surface, and you can plant anywhere you want in that raised bed, and you're going to have the moisture, but you're also going to have a better grow because you're going to get aeration in the root zone. And then you have the delivery system. So when you're growing your own vegetables and adding your organic nutrients into the root zone and aerating them, the Earth Mister is just the perfect system for raised bed gardens, and it's just a no-brainer, because when most people out there, they'll bring in their drip system, you have to put your emitters right next to the plants, then to figure out if you need a 1.0 emitter or a 2.0 emitter. The Earth Mister takes all the thinking out of it. You just put it right down the middle, and no matter what the watering requirement of your plants or vegetables, the Earth Mister will, you know, suffice for that, because it keeps the subsurface moist. And it brings the roots down to a deep root watering. So if you're growing corn or tomatoes, your yield is going to increase. and not only just the yield, but the size and the taste, and then, of course, the ability to add your organic nutrients right in the root zone is just a home grower's dream. And there seems to be a really vast movement towards the raised bed garden market, and we are very much behind that here at Global Eco Soil Solutions with the Earth Mister, and we're really proud to be a part of that, because with the Earth Mister in your raised bed garden, you can grow your healthy vegetables not just to supplement your food supply, but also to make it healthy. And, of course, everything out of your garden has a fantastic taste. So it's not like going to the store and buying things off the shelf that look like they should taste good but actually don't have any taste at all. When you're growing things in your raised bed gardens, everything tastes great. So the Earth Mister is really in that grassroots movement of the raised bed gardens, and we're really proud of it. And we've sent them all around the United States so far, and we get comments and pictures that send back that thank us, and we get a lot of testimonials, and a lot of people tell us that they were just about to buy their drip system when they come across the Earth Mister on our website, and next thing you know, they're ordering, and you can order right off our website, and we'll ship it out within a few days. And the application of it is simple, it's user-friendly, and it's just a win-win situation. And cosmetically, it's out of the way, and now you're just looking at your vegetables growing. So that's a real grassroots, and those have gone out throughout the United States this year, from, you know, Massachusetts to Florida to Texas, Auburn, Alabama, into Illinois, Michigan, and people in the cold weather states, you know, and now that we're talking about Ohio, it'd be perfect for you, Robert, in your cold weather state, because, you know, the Earth Mister, it doesn't freeze because all the water drains from it, so you don't have to worry about it freezing in the wintertime. And when the spring comes, you're already ready to go with it.
That's awesome. I'll tell you what, if you want to, you know, move people over to a link or tell about the link, but I watched some of those videos, and one of the videos that I watched is the one when you had the radishes, you know, the red radishes and the white ones. And some of those were huge, and I love radishes.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, seeing them made my mouth water. I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, look at those. And I seen the system, so it's, you know, and unfortunately I don't have a lot of, you know, shade in my backyard, but there are some spots where I think, a raised bed would, you know, would be awesome.
It really would, and it's like what you get is like those radishes, and you don't have to be a professional to grow. You know, in that garden that you got them out of, there was just soil that was just thrown in there. It was amended through the Earth Mister. Now, that was just soil put in a box, and the way the nutrients were put in there was right through the Earth Mister, and those radishes were very, very good. But if you notice on the video, look at the roots of the radishes, because that's what the Earth Mister does with its deep root watering. It brings the roots down, and what's underneath is going to reflect what's on top. And we all know that the secret is in the soil, and it's the Earth Mister supplying that oxygen for the microlife to flourish and for the uptake of the plant, that it's finally getting the oxygen that it just doesn't get because it's got a delivery system that's delivering it to it. And it's just something that we get a lot of compliments on from the people who have already ordered it. We get a lot of people that have come back and ordered more, because a lot of people are doing multiple raised bed gardens, not just one, but multiple. And it's really a movement that we really support, like I said before, because it's just a great thing. And it's something that I encourage everybody to jump on board and go onto our site and look at our videos on YouTube, where if you go on the front page of our website and you click on the YouTube logo there, that will take you to our channel on YouTube, where we have videos and some of our customers that we've been filming. You can see some of their raised bed gardens also, Robert.
Oh, yes. And actually, we did kind of move away from that, because I was going to have people go. You know, I put the link, and I still see it up on chat, so if people want to go and check the website out and the link I've provided, if maybe you can. I mean, I'm sure it is very navigable. You know, I can have a hard time getting that one out. But, you know, if they would look around and, you know, they could read it. But, I mean, if there's anything that they might need, would like an explanation on, if you want to go over, you know, the particulars, you know, the website, I think that would be great.
Yes, and remember, the way we feel about watering is over-the-top watering. It's just a thing of the past now. And when you see sprinkler heads going off, you need to think about the Earth Mister, because that's something that you would never see watering. And that's the way that we need to be now, is efficient.
That's true, too.
And we have
efficiency. Be better, too, right?
Yes. If you think about all the movements in the world to cut carbon credits, you know, and to cut energy use and electricity, and there's our most precious resource, water, and there is nothing that they're inventing. What's been invented in the last 30, 40 years as far as an irrigation system to conserve water, but yet we're running out of water, and it's our most precious resource, you know. As the world population grows, there becomes you need the demand for food, and for growing food becomes more. Therefore, the demand for water becomes more, and then you have the pollutants that are cutting our water shortage even shorter. So our most precious resource is something that we are really caring about at Earthmister, and that we have a system that goes a long way into curing, you know, the water shortage in the world, because there's no other system out there that will do it, because the Earthmister is just all about efficiency, and it's something that people need to take a look at, because you have your drip systems that's been around since the 50s, nothing new. You know, they'll come out with different type of sprinkler heads that have heavier drops that, you know, water more efficiently. The bottom line is they're watering on top and they're not getting to the root zone. So this is the way of the future, and it's something that needs to be taken seriously, because we're going to be here for a long time now, and we're really established ourselves, and this is something that people need to take a look at, because it's a new movement. You know, we're not part of the establishment. We're part of something that we want to do something for people and do something for the planet, which we are, which is saving our most precious resource. And I think that you can see that when you see how the Earthmister works.
And I think that's a great segue into, you know, building, you know, the irrigation system. And you said it's going to be a delivery system. Actually building an industry. Now, I've never heard of, you know, the subsurface pressurized irrigation before I started doing research for this, you know, for this show.
Yeah.
You know, and I heard about it, you know, by a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of directed me towards your business. So what about, are you guys it sounds like you're on the forefront of,
yeah,
you know, of this business, which can turn into like a whole industry. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, well, you know, you're absolutely right, and what we're doing is we're taking it to a different level, because, once again, we don't only want to offer you a system, a delivery system that conserves water. We want to offer you that and more. We want to offer you a service, because water needs to be managed. You know, it's if you're going to save water, you need more than just a system to save water. You need to manage that system. And we've come up with a way, and what we did is we brought in a new CEO. And he was from Booz Allen, and he's also started his own venture firm at Novamont Ventures. But he knows how to bring in management structures and take corporations and make them very profitable and bring in a vision. And that's what he did with our company. Is he brought us a vision, and he brought us the model that it's not just about saving water, but it's about offering the service to save water and using our high-tech alignments, our strategic alignments that we have with other companies out there that are on the cutting edge of technology, like the sensors. You know, we can use a soil sensor now that will tell us exact moisture of the soil when we need to. We can tell when something is broke that needs to be fixed. You know, no longer will you have to be watering your cement. We can tell you exactly your water savings and your cost cutting. And this is important for things like municipalities who are now low on budget and they're out of money, you know, and when you do and cut their costs, then they have the ability to start hiring people and to start servicing the cities more. When you go to multifamily units, it's these big units, and when you cut their costs and manage their water systems, then they have a better ability to offer you know, either less rent or more amenities for your tenants. So your commercial buildings are the same way. And with the Earthmister, no longer we have to be walking down the street and get watered by a sprinkler or walk through a
yeah,
wet cement. You know, or drive your car. You know, this is something that, you know, really upset myself. You clean, wash your car, and you drive down the street at night, 12 o'clock at night, and the cities are watering all their medians, and you drive through this, and all that water, just like it rains, go up on your car, and your car's all dirty. Why? Because they're watering the streets. It's something that they shouldn't do with the sprinkler head, because now there's a better way, and they know there's a better way. So there should be a big push for things like the Earthmister and the way that we water.
Okay, sorry. It's you know, I have this office.
Yes.
Actually, outside of my home, and my daughter has a friend over. They're having a play date, and they're getting a little loud. So I'm wondering if I'm going to have to you know, tell them, hey, you need to be quiet. So if anyone hears any bumping in the background, that's my daughter. So let me know, and I'll tell them, hey, be quiet. I've got a show going on here. But that's 10-year-old kids for you, right?
Well, you know, you can send them outside to play and won't have to worry about them getting wet from the sprinklers if you have the air conditioner, right?
Yeah, there you go, exactly. And I was going to bring up, you're describing all that, and I would really, one of the things I'd like to see, you know, on a really large scale, and you've alluded to a lot of that, is I'd really like, you know, I think you can actually do a change of paradigm in the way that, you know, as you said, we do sprinkling, the way we do, you know, watering, but, you know, even like, you know, people's lawns, and people are like, well, really? I mean, is that really something that's a big deal? You know, is that something that could really help? And I believe yes,
right.
Because, you know, not only is you're going to save 80% of the water, there's so much different things that happen when you do water from the surface. And what I'd like you to speak on next is how not watering on the surface actually does, because I see less erosion, less runoff, you know, from people who not only water on the surface, but they also fertilize on the surface. So if you could speak on something on how the Earthmaster, that's the brand name of the product or service?
Yes, the brand name is Earthmaster. The company name is Global Eco Soil Solutions.
Okay.
And the Earthmaster is just derived from misting the earth, you know, and that's where the name comes from. A mist came up from the earth and watered the earth. So it's something that the founder named it in biblical terms, to water the earth. So it's something that we like to be proud of, and it's the paradigm that you spoke about that is so true in watering today and watering on the surface. And it's just something that, you know, that's just what we know as when you're born, you're raised, you're watering your lawn, either with your sprinklers or your water hose, and it's just a paradigm. And now all of a sudden we come along and we say, no, you need to throw this under the surface and water, because that's where the water is needed. And that's the paradigm that we need to understand is the water on top, when you're watering turf, so that's on the blades, that's not where the water is needed. The water is needed in the root zone, so the roots uptake the water into the leaves, and then the leaves will transpire off into evapotranspiration. So the water does nothing when it's on the top. And then when it gets into the soil, we have compaction. And so it has a hard mm-hmm. time working down. So you have roots that are on the surface now. And it's the same thing with trees.
That's,
you know,
true, too.
Their roots are on the surface looking for the water. And that's what happens when we're watering on top. But it's just the only way that we've known, you know, and it's before computers, we used to do a lot of things that we don't do now because we have computers, and now we have the Earthmaster. It's just a better way and more efficient way to water, and it's just a paradigm change that needs to take place. And I myself was the same way when I started working for the company and realized that there was a thing called the Earthmaster, and that I have never looked at over-the-top watering the same since, because it's just different. You'll notice that you'll see water going off. You see water missing in the air, water not even landing where you're trying to water. And then, like you talked about, the runoff, which is so important, because runoff causes erosion, but it also takes fertilizers, and it takes them into the sewer system. It takes them into our oceans. It kills the fish. There's just a big problem with runoff, and that's what you get when you water on top. So there's a lot of things that can be cured with the Earthmaster when you're talking about runoff, because once again, when you fertilize with the Earthmaster, your organic nutrients, you're putting them into the root zone where they're not going to run off, and they're just going to be uptaken by the plant life, or they're going to gravitate back down to the water table. And that's another thing that we're really proud of. It's the fact that when the Earthmaster waters and it's watered in the root zone, and for the listeners out there, the way to visualize this is just have a pipe in the ground, a parallel pipe that is 6 inches under the ground, and it waters a parallel spray that sprays out in a needle-type form. And then the water capillates. And what capillates, that means the water spreads. And the spreading action is what gives you the water uniformity. And then the water will gravitate back down to the water table, recharging the water table, and not just misting off or evaporating off into the air or running off into our oceans where we can never use it. That should only happen when it rains. You know, that's the only type of runoff that we should have if we're not corralling the rain, but not by sprinklers. And sprinkler runoff just causes a lot of problems environmentally that we need to, you know, take heed to. And that's where the Earthmaster comes in. And in the state of California, they have a law, it's called AB 1881, that deals with the issue of water runoff and watering the streets and your medians and that. And that's something that I think that the rest of the nation really need to get on board, because with the earth mister in every street median out there, there's never going to be a wet street again, and there will be a prosperous whatever they have in the median, be it turf or drought tolerant.
Well, I know one thing I see a lot of is, you know, on the larger, you know, like, you know, on the farms, when you have the irrigation, and one of the problems was that you said, you know, top air, top watering is with the runoff. I mean, a lot of them are around wooded areas, and a lot of those wooded areas have creeks. So if you're doing top watering along with, you know, top fertilizing, you know, a lot of that fertilizer is going to run off and getting to the creeks, and it's really going to, you know, inhibit the, in some ways, you know, inhibit or have too much of a different kind of, you know, proliferation of different plants because of the whatever nutrients, and it really disrupts the ecosystem there in that area. And now, while it's a small area, I mean, you do it across enough farms, and that can have a larger scale result.
Well, it's exactly right, and there is a large scale of that going on in the Mississippi Valley there from the Mississippi River. And you know, when you have the floods or the runoff from the farms that goes into the Mississippi River, and then as the river goes down south, gets in Louisiana, all the fish are dying off, and you have a big dead zone around there, and that's just not right, because we don't need to do it that way. You know, we don't need to have those inorganic fertilizers that are out there. We never had them before 1932, and we survived this long. You know, it's just about a balanced soil. And now that we have the resources and you have the people out there in the labs that can do your soil samples and help you balance your soil, you should balance your soil through organic terms and means. And the earth minister can go a long way to do that when you have your organic, you know, your organic, your micronutrients, your soil enhancers that are running through there that are balancing your soil, helping your microlife. If you are lacking something in there, you can always inject that through the earth minister also. If it's an avocado tree that's lacking zinc, then put it in there through the earth minister. Once again, it's not running off, and that's what's important.
You're starting to move into something I was getting ready to ask you about. As you mentioned putting nutrients into the system, and I don't need to ask that question now because you're already starting to describe it. So continue.
Yes, the nutrients in the system is, and that's the best thing about earth mister being a delivery system, is the delivery of water and air, and then the nutrients. And remember, when you're delivering nutrients into the root zone, first of all, you're going to reduce the amount of nutrients that you use because you're getting it right into the root zone. So you don't need a lot of the nutrient like you do when you water on top and you're trying to get it to work down to the root zone for the plant to uptake it. Means you're putting it right there, you're going to reduce the amount that you use immediately. But it's kind of a way, like it's almost like a doctor to the plant. You can deliver any type of medicine that they need to get well. And so it's just a fantastic thing that you can deliver. And you can't deliver with any other device, not even subsurface device, like a drip system, because a drip system will just drip in a cone, where the earth mister spreads and capillates and becomes total. The total subsurface is moist, so you have total watering uniformity that you don't get in a drip system. And when you bury the drip system, when your subsurface drip, they're confined to a trench, and so they won't go very far out. You have to put a lot of material in, but they still fall short of really what the earth mister does. And this is something that we have done. It's just like taking a drip system to another level, giving it power. And to explain more about the subsurface pressurized irrigation, and one of the reasons why you don't hear that is because we're the only manufacturer that has that. We are the only ones that have the subsurface pressurized irrigation, and it's through a proprietary design that we're able to take the city water pressure and pressurize it and get our power spray. And when you have that power spray, you're running on very short watering cycles of between 1 and 3 minutes, be it turf or your home-raised garden or wherever you have that. Drought tolerant or your trees, you know, very short watering cycles, and that's where you get your water conservation from.
Well, so yeah, well, as I said, it seems like we, you know, we're kind of at the bottom floor, you know, and working in this new system of saving water, and, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, irrigation purposes, because I'm sure, you know, that the market is still huge, because I believe, you know, I'm, you know, I think,
well, yeah,
at least, and you could speak that there's probably a vast percentage of, you know, irrigation is still probably done, you know, either drip or, you know, just your sprinkler system, things of that nature.
That's exactly right, and when you come out with a system like the Earth Mister, which is a total revolutionary system, but when you introduce this to the market, nobody wants to be the first one to try it because, you know, they don't want to just go out and put something in that doesn't work. They've seen plenty of snake oil salesmen come and go. So we come out with a new device that we're going to tell you we can save you up to 80% of your water. You know, it's just hard to get a foothold in it. But, you know, we worked at it, and people, you know, like the city of Anaheim who took a hard look at it and then started using it, and then it started catching on because it just makes a lot of sense. It's a common sense system, and it's really very simplistic the way it does work. And so we started to get a foothold and, you know, things, a little bit of momentum, and people really did start to see the value of it. And now our sales have started to take off. And once again, we told you about the raised bed garden business. And that's why it's time to bring in a new leader to the company, to bring a new vision to us and take us in a different direction, which is, you know, with our CEO now, Howard Rosenberg, has done. He brought us a vision and he brought us some leadership. And now we're taking the Earth Mister to another level. And pretty soon the Earth Mister will be everywhere. So once again, once we get over the paradigm, but to get that foothold with something with a very new technology and you're not an already established company is almost impossible. And the Earth Mister so far has climbed that mountain. And, you know, there we are. And so we're ready now to take big chunks of the market, and really it's just all about efficient watering, and we're here to stay, and we're going to be here for a long time now.
That's great. Yeah, because I mean, as I said, I could definitely see in a system such as that replacing, you know, the current types of watering systems. But I have someone here. They're looks like they're calling in from Skype. I don't know if they're using Skype to just listen in or if they have any questions or comments. So I'm going to let them in real quick, Robert, see what they'd like to say, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Hello, Skype caller. How are you tonight? You calling in to you using this to listen in, or do you have any questions or comments about our topic this evening?
No, I have a comment about the Earth Mister. I have this. I ordered it for my raised bed garden this year, and it is absolutely the most awesome watering system out there. I went to the website. I ordered it for my raised bed. They sent it out. My husband installed it, and it is just absolutely awesome. I suggest everyone go to their website and order it because it is just awesome. And I just want to thank you so much. And, oh, I did want to know where I can get some Azomite, if you know.
Oh, Azomite, you can order it from the website, but it's something that you're going to be able to get from Global EcoSoil Solutions, which is part of our new model and our new technology. And now that you mention Azomite is just a great additive to enhance your soil and build the health of it because it has 70 trace elements needed for growing. And the beauty of it is it's a 200 mesh powder, so you can mix it up in water and you can actually inject it into the root zone through the Earth Mister. So it's a perfect example of taking one of the best organic nutrients out there and soil minerals and putting it through the Earth Mister. And when you do that, your tomatoes, your corn, everything not only grows healthier, but it brings a taste to it like you've never had before or like the old days.
Oh, my vegetables taste wonderful. And that it's so awesome. Everyone, order this for your raised bed garden because it is just absolutely fabulous.
Hey, ma'am, I've got a question for you. It's just out of curiosity, anything else. What are you growing in your garden?
I'm growing tomatoes and cucumbers and broccoli and carrots. And that's just in one raised bed. I have another one that's ready to go, but there's nothing in it yet. I need to get back and order another system, a whole set, because it comes with everything. It's great. There's a filter. There's everything, and it's just awesome. And my radishes were just great. They tasted like radishes from the old days that were hot and they were big and they were great. And when you plant radishes, you get instant gratification because they grow so rapidly.
Oh, I know. I was watching the video. Oh, go ahead, ma'am. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. I'm just so excited about this thing. I love the YouTube videos. When I have a question or my husband has a question, we just go on there really quick, and it's like look down and you see. It's like, oh, here, this is how you glue it, and this is how you, you know, add fertilizer to it. It's just awesome. It's just an awesome system. My husband and I are just so happy with it, and I just want to thank you so much.
Well, and we're glad that you had the insight to order the Earth Mister, and you're a happy customer, and that makes us happy because the Earth Mister, like I said, is there for you, the people, and it's there to help you grow a better garden.
I thank you so much for all those wonderful YouTube videos that are so very helpful. But, okay, I've got to cut this off now, but I've got to go, so thank you again, and I'll be ordering more soon. Thanks.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that. Thank you. Excellent. But and Robert, that's what we do on our website is we offer kits for raised bed gardens, and these kits are for people who don't want to go to the store and buy any of the paraphernalia to hook up your dishwasher. It comes with your regular PVC tees and nails and your filters and everything you need to hook your water source into it. And so, therefore, it's like a one-stop shop, and then you're good to go. And then after you put it in your garden, the next thing that you could do is put it in your lawn, because the Earth Mister works great in turf. And over here in California, where you're under watering restrictions and you can only water a few times a day, well, that's all the Earth Mister needs. Is we have one test site, and on this test site is 3,600 feet of turf, and we're only watering for 9 minutes a week with the Earth Mister. So you can see where you get a lot of water conservation on your turf also. So if you like a green lawn, not just a garden, the Earth Mister is a perfect system for a residential system. And once again, you can order that from our website.
Yes, ma'am. If you got cut off, I apologize. We had some storms out here. Oh, she had just dropped again. I believe she called, and then the call got dropped, and then she called back. We've had some storms out here where I'm at, so I don't know if that has any bearings on anything. And if she does call back in, I'll definitely bring her back. But it looks like she might have gotten dropped. If you're still able to listen out there, ma'am, either, you know, on the chat or, you know, or otherwise, please, if you'd like to call back in if you did indeed get dropped, and we'll let you in.
Sorry about that,
Robert.
Oh, that's okay. Because it's funny, you mentioned the storms, and here in Southern California, we always have pretty mild weather. But one of our customers who had recently talked with out in New Mexico with the Earth Mister in his garden, he said it's been perfect because he can go out in the middle of the day. Excuse me.
You're good. You all right?
He gives it a short water burst, and it cools the root zone. So therefore, you're having that heat wave in the east, and it's in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And it's very hot, and you have your garden growing that's really stressing out. The Earth Mister, you run a blast of water into the root zone. You cool the roots off, because when the roots are cooked, that's when your plants die. And so I found that enlightening, because we hadn't thought about that. But, you know, it's so true that, you know, you're during a heat wave, you turn that water on, you cool the roots, give them a blast of water, a little break, and, you know, they don't stress as much. So it was very enlightening that we, you know, got from some of our customers. And we get calls from our customers all the time and letting us know how their gardens are, the way they grow. If you've noticed, we did a update with one of our videos where the customer was growing tomatoes. And I spoke with him a couple of days ago, and he said that tomatoes are up almost 8 feet tall now, and they just keep growing because they get deep root watering. It's really crazy. And we're going to do a follow-up on that one, too, so stay tuned for that.
Yes, definitely. I haven't had a chance to see the video yet, you know, but definitely. I definitely like to check it out. Now, one thing she actually answered a question that I had is actually ordering the gear to do it at home, but it sounds like that is something that's available that I wasn't aware of until she called. So hopefully she can call back in. I'd like to thank her personally for bringing that up and letting me know. That's great. I didn't know about that.
Well, it's something that we wanted to offer because, like I said, we send the kit all over the United States, and sometimes people don't have the Home Depot or a hardware store close by, or they just don't want to go to the store they want to get the kit where they open it up, and when they go out, they put their kit together, and they're ready to go, and everything is just right there. And so
that would
be
me.
Our motive. Yes.
That would be
exactly.
Me, Rob.
Everything you need to grow.
That's exactly what it would be, because I'm definitely a man who is about convenience. If it, I'll spend a couple extra dollars for it to be something to be convenient. My wife, on the other hand, she'll travel out of her way to save a little money on bread. But you know, I love her. But man, I tell you what, me as my dad's more convenient. I'll spend the other couple bucks. But you know, we're so off in so many ways, but it works. But anyway, it looks like. The lady came out, and I think this is her, and I'm going to bring her back, okay? If that's
okay.
Indeed her, but I think it is.
Oh, good.
Yes, this the lady who called earlier? Hello? Maybe, maybe not. Oh, I don't hear anything.
Wait. Oh.
Hello? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll keep the line open just in case they're able to chime back in.
Okay.
I'll keep it open. Maybe they're just having some. It looks like it might be from Skype, and so that they could be having some, you know, some problems, especially if they're actually experiencing some storms like we are here in Ohio. So go ahead, Robert. That means interrupting us. And ma'am, if you could at least hear us, but you're not getting any, you can't do any audio.
Okay.
Just go ahead and just chime in. I think Rob and
sure.
I would be okay, or Rob and I would be okay with that.
Sure. Sure. Well, you know, elaborating a little bit more on water conservation and what the Earth Mister does. We think it's important because, you know, here in the United States, you know, I don't think we're in as dire straits as a lot of the other parts of the world who are absolutely running out of food and don't have enough water to grow the food. And these are people that, you know, the Earth Mister can really pay dividends to, because when you just don't have enough water to grow food and you need to conserve, well, that just puts it right in the Earth Mister's ball game, because if we can conserve the water between 60-80% and give you a good grow, a lot of times that's all these people need in these other countries in order to, you know, grow their own food and survive. And places like India, who have a lot of small farms, you know, who grow to support their family, and other places around the world where water is a problem, this is where the Earth Mister, like I say, could come in and play big dividends. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to pay a little bit more for the Earth Mister than you would your drip tape. But what you're going to get out of it is a lot more. You're going to get sustainability. You're going to get longevity, hard PVC from 30 to 40 years lifespan. But you're going to get that healthy grow. But what you get that nobody else can give you is a delivery system. And that's where it pays the dividends, because it can deliver everything and it can increase your yield year after year after year, and it does nothing but give you the healthy growth. And so everything that it grows, be it turf or trees or roots and vegetables, the Earth Mister can do it in a conservative way without stressing the plant. And that's what I want to stress, is the fact that it doesn't stress. In fact, it gives it more than it needs, because remember, we do a lot of compaction, be it through landscaping or overwatering, or just walking, driving on, and what the compaction does, it closes up the macro pores, and so now the roots, they're not getting the oxygen that they need, and that's where the Earth Mister comes in and makes up for that compaction from the overwatering, and when it bores a hole in the soil with this parallel jet spray, that becomes a pore, and it also becomes a direct line to the outside world, because you can follow that pore right to the hole in the Earth Mister, right out to your anti-siphon valve, into the oxygen, into the air. So there's that channel of air that's constant, and then, of course, the burst when the Earth Mister is engaged and turns on through the watering cycle. So that's something that we're really proud of, the fact that we aerate without any added extra pumps or devices, and that's something that no other delivery system can do. And matter of fact, there is no other delivery system but Earth Mister, because everybody else is an irrigation system.
So what you're saying, and what I think you're saying, is that, you know, if you have a lawn, for instance, and you have the Earth Mister, gone are the days where you'll have to, like, spend the one time and the effort to actually aerate your lawn,
yep.
You know, as part of the process of having that nice green lawn, you know, for the spring and summer.
That's exactly right, because, you know, when you give it that.
Oh, man. That's saving some. That's saving a lot of work.
Yeah, and that's one thing that we tell people, is like, if you are aerating or poking your holes in your lawn, you don't need to do that anymore, because we're going to do it for you.
Oh, man, that's very nice.
And if you think about it, the way they air right now by pulling the plugs, we're not going to do that. We're going to blast the air right onto the roots, you know. And it really is, that air really is like a jet of water because, you know, I've had my hand over the earth mister and over one of the jets before when we turned it on. And it actually felt like a stream of water, but what it was a stream of air, you know.
Where's
and
the
remember
air
that
come
stream
from again?
Okay, the air comes in. It happens like this, and this is a byproduct of the invention. You have an anti-siphon valve on your system, and you have to have the anti-siphon valve because you don't want backflow or back pressure to suck back in. So when you have your anti-siphon valve on, when the watering cycle shuts down, the earth mister keeps draining because it's in the subsurface and your anti-siphon valve is above. So all the water drains from the earth mister, and when it drains from the earth mister, it's pulling the atmosphere into it. And remember, the atmosphere is over 70% nitrogen. And it's very simplistic, but it's so effective. Now, the atmosphere being over 70% nitrogen and oxygen, you're blasting that right into the root zone and right into the microlife, and the roots are all getting a blast of oxygen, but a blast of nitrogen, and the microlife
right.
the same.
That's
and then everything
incredible.
Is flourishing. And
wow.
the plants are really happy. That,
I bet.
That
makes me
plant?
Happy. That's awesome. I love hearing technology like that. And that's part of what, you know, the show's about, especially on Wednesdays and Thursday nights, is the technology that we can use. You know, because, you know, I'm really against the, you know, as I said, it's a political conservative show, so I'm really against, you know, top-down, you know, control on ways of trying to, you know, conserve and, you know, protect the environment, things of that nature. And this sounds like an ingenious business that does it, you know, in an entrepreneurial way that if it spreads the way I would like to see it spread, then you could really, you know, protect the environment in an intelligent and, you know, as I said, entrepreneurial, you know, way of doing it. And I think more people would come on board. I think people would be more, you know, apt to accept something like that because it's not a controlling thing. It's like, hey, look, this works. It's great. It can, as you said, it increases yield, and, you know, you're conserving water. And, you know, so, yep. you know, I really, it's really great to hear about.
And everything is more healthier. Remember, the healthier either your grass or the healthier your plants, the less susceptible it is to diseases. And when you have it in your grass, the roots are deeper, you know. So when the roots are deeper, the turf on top is stronger and it's less susceptible to dying. And it can stand up to more compaction and kids running and playing on it, things like that. So it's everything that it does is healthier. And you can see it in the blades of the grass because they'll have a greener look to them. You can see it in the leaves of your vegetables. They'll get a green, healthier look to them because they're happy. They're getting what they need, and they're not stressed. Because when you look around and you look around at trees and bushes and vegetables, you can see a lot of stress going on, especially in the trees, you know, because the trees just aren't getting their deep root watering. And this is what the earth mister does. It conserves water. It gives it what it needs in its watering requirements and the blast of air. So therefore, the health is back, and then the leaves are perking up. The leaves are greener, and you can actually notice it. And right now, we don't notice as much that things look stressed because everything looks stressed, and so it becomes the norm. But it's not. It's stressed because it's being watered wrong. It's being compacted, a lot of the water running off and things like that. So we're in the 21st century now, and we need to start watering like we're in the 21st century. And that's what we do with the Earth Mister, and that's one thing that we're really proud of. And you're so right with the grassroots movements because we're laying a base here with the Earth Mister that's going to be around for a long time. And right now it's out there, and people know about it, and they're using it. And so we plan on growing from the bottom up and becoming a very strong corporation and a very strong player in the irrigation, or should I say delivery system. And once again, we are the only delivery system that delivers. And so we're really proud of that.
Yeah, it does. It sounds awesome. It sounds, you know, an ingenious way of using what you've got, you know, in order to, like you just said, you're taking that, you know, when the water, you know, comes back, you have that air, so you might as well use it, you know. So,
right.
you know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't mind hunting as long as the people who do the hunting use, you know, every bit of the animal that they kill, you know. So
exactly.
In this instance, you know, you're using everything you got. Now I've got a question about setup. Now, when you hook the pipes, you know, let's say, for instance, in the for the above ground, Because these are things that I'm personally interested in getting, because I don't have any of this. And so when you hook it up to the above, you know, the above ground garden, what do you call that? I'm having a brain freeze here.
The valve?
No, the above ground garden, you know, where people would secrete
it
off the ground.
Oh, yeah, the raised bed garden.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much. That's the term. I was looking for the term. Yeah, the raised bed garden. Is that hooked up to, like, hook it up to a spigot, or is it directly connected to the water supply? How does that work?
Well, it works multiple ways, and a lot of the people that do your raised bed gardens are very efficient, and they're very well connected, and the way they do is it's amazing. A lot of them will run your hard PVC, you know, they'll trench over to the raised bed garden with the hard PVC, and then what they call stub up, they'll come right up. And when they come up, they'll either put a ball check valve on it, or your anti-siphon valve will go right there, and then it comes right back down into the garden. And so that, in that aspect, it's a hard PVC that they're using. But you also have the ability to use your 3/4-inch water hose. And what we would use that is you set up the earth mister, and the earth mister will come up the back edge of the garden, and your hose will hook into that through adapters right into the filter. So you can either use your 3/4-inch water hose or just hardwire your mm-hmm. PVC right over to the bed. And a lot of people do it that way, especially the ones that are doing their multiple beds, because in that mm-hmm. aspect, you can go to one bed and then from one bed right to another, and you can link the earth mister in multiple beds doing it that way. So you can get multiple beds at one time.
So how long would you do it for, like, you have the hose run for, like, 9 minutes or something?
As a matter of fact, that the garden that was that had the radishes there that we made the video of, the way that one was being watered was it had PVC, but the PVC wasn't running all the way back to the water source. So a 3/4-inch hose connected right up to the PVC, and that was watered through 20 or 40 feet of earth mister, and that watered just fine. It worked really well. Well, you could see through the radishes and the radishes were the farthest away from the earth mister,
mm-hmm.
and you could
so
see
how
bright.
How long do you got to keep the if you have it hooked up to your hose? How long would you run the water for?
Well, that's a very good question, because it really depends on the type of soil you have. And if you have a sandy soil, sandy loam, or clay soil, you can water for 30 seconds a day, and that's probably all you're going to need. Because this is after the bed's broken in. You only need that short watering cycle with that type of soil, because that retains the water and it retains nutrients. But if you have a lot of compost and a lot of aerated soil or cocoa peat and things like that, the earth mist is going to run through it really quick.
Huh.
Therefore, you're gonna water a little bit longer and a little more frequently, because the water's drained so fast. That's why the best setup to have is a combination of a little bit of clay, a little bit of sandy loam, and some compost, and therefore it's going to hold water and nutrients a little bit longer.
That's fascinating. Yeah, because as I said, I'm definitely thinking about, you know, getting one of those. Of course, it's a little late in the season this year, but, you know, definitely for more planning. And it's definitely something I like to do, for next year. And I think that would be, and then, of course, not just for the, not just for the garden. I like to do it for the lawn as well. Because it's just like, oh, man, I forgot to turn the water off when watering the lawn. Here, I could, maybe put a timer or something. But it sounds like you don't have to have it on long at all. You're
trying
to give it a good squirt, and then that's what it sounds like.
That's right, because, I don't know if any of your listeners out there have done this. I know I used to do this a lot, is I'd turn my sprinklers on outside, and sometimes I would forget, and they'd be on all night.
I've done that.
It's crazy, because sometimes you just have things to do, and you don't have, 15, 20 minutes to spend there and water in your lawn. It would be nice, but, sometimes you just don't have that time, and so you start to do something else, and you tell yourself you'll remember, and you go back and shut it off, and sure enough, you'll forget. Well, with the earth mister, you're only looking at between 1 and 3 minutes of standing there and shutting it off. So it's almost a pleasure.
Oh, my gosh, that's incredible. Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, so it's just a 3-minute water burst. And we're talking turf here, not raised bed garden on that. If you have turf, you can give it a burst for 3 minutes, and you can do that for every other day. And then you'll have a green, prosperous lawn.
Man, or even set it up on a timer, you know, it would probably would fit in the more. With my schedule, you know, because I think I've seen people who actually have their sprinklers on a timer, and that might be something I might have to look into at some point. My thing is sometimes is if I don't do it right when I'm thinking about it, I go to the next thing, you know. So watering the lawn sometimes, you know, doesn't happen for, you know, a couple of days, and I'm like, oh man, and especially with the way it's been out here, you know, it's just been so dry. We're like 3 inches.
It's critical. You got the heat wave going on and that weather, and you forget for a couple of days, and now it becomes critical. So you're absolutely right, because remember when you're watering on top in the heat, you know, and we know that it's humid, but it's always hot back there, so the water doesn't get down very far as it's evaporating. You know, that's the key. And so you'll get a lot of roots on top, a lot of tree roots on top. And that's what comes to mind is our tree device, which is a vertical device. Same thing with the earth sensor, but it's vertical. And it's for trees, and it's a deep root watering. What that does, it brings the tree roots down to the water, away from the surface where you don't want them. So when you plant a new tree, best thing to do is order the earth mister, tree mister. You put that in so it establishes those roots going down immediately, and then maybe they'll reach the aquifer or they'll get down, and therefore the tree will always prosper. But the main thing is you won't have those tree roots up on top.
Well, and also if you have a tree that's near a home, you know, or if your house is on a slab, those roots, they get underneath the slab and start lifting up. You could actually start getting some cracking problems because of that tree.
Absolutely, and you see it all the time in sidewalks and in parking lots, you know.
Which is
a good point, because if we were to be in the parking lots, and you can put us in every parking lot out there, Walmart, Target, or whatever, and those trees, and now those trees aren't going to start lifting that asphalt, you know, and that asphalt will stay level, and then for the customers, you know, it's more convenient driving and walking. You don't have to worry about tripping and falling off the humps that the tree roots cause, you know. And that's something that's eliminated with the deep root watering, like the earth mister. And they have other deep root watering devices out there, but they're drip, and they're not as effective or as efficient as a deep root watering device that the earth mister has, because once again, we aerate, but we also bring the water down a little bit deeper, because when you drip, it's still not going to get all the way down the way you want it to get, like the way that we do it with our tree mister. Because with the tree mister, we're watering at 6 and 14 inches simultaneously, and that's what brings the tree roots down.
Oh, I see. Wow, so that's a pretty big, well, it's only 14-inch trench, so that's not too bad.
That's not bad at all. And the first jets are right at the 6-inch level, and the importance of that is 6 inches is right where all the feeder roots are. So the feeder roots get blasted with air and water and your nutrients from our delivery system. So once again, this is where the importance of a delivery system is now in the 21st century. Once again, everybody else has an irrigation system, but at Earth Mister, we have a delivery system. And that's another way that we distance ourselves from the competitors, is not only do we water efficiently, but we deliver. And deliver in this day and age is the key, because it takes more than just water now to grow. It takes your nutrients, your microlife, and things like that. And we become smarter in this century at growing, and the scientists and the soil scientists that have helped out, and the farmers out there who are a lot smarter in the soil science, and things are being grown better now. And so this is where the earth mister really comes in. And so watering on top is really just a way of the past. There's some of the problems with watering on top is salt. So if you have salt in your water and you're watering on top, then those salts will dry, and then you'll water them right into the plant, you know, and then the plant will suffer. But with the earth mister, if you keep your root zone moist all the time, the salts will pass through it, and the plants start taking the salts. So if you have a high saline in your water, the earth mister can help, because it's keeping the subsurface moist, and the salt's a heavier element, which is why it will pass through the root zone.
Okay. Now, one thing I believe I've seen this on the website is, and it's obvious through the videos that I've seen, that the fruit, or like for instance the radishes were larger, but also I believe it mentioned something about, you know, the harvest itself being, you know, an increase in actual harvest as well. Now I'm thinking that's because the And correct me if I'm wrong, I just want to see if I actually know something. But is that instead of the plant, you know, whatever plant it is, especially if it's like a fruit tree or, you know, a vegetable, where it's spending less of its energy creating root systems to spread out, to collect water, and then the energy it's saving, you know, from not having to make as much of an extensive root system or expansive root system, that it could spend that energy on creating more fruit or, you know, vegetable.
And it really does, because it's everything that we have done, we've noticed the results, you know, are more of them. Be it if it's a fruit tree, we'll notice that the trees come to life, new branches grow out of the old branches, and not only more fruit, but more juice in the cavity. And we've also grown corn on a couple of occasions. That's just fantastic, because one time, the first time we grew it, we had stalks with 7 years of corn on them. And the last time, it was grown by a farmer down in Temecula, California, and he called us down, and he had between 6 and 8 stalks of corn, or on 8 years of corn on one stalk. So,
Oh, wow, that's great.
It's literally amazing. So we planted corn in that same bed that you see that the radishes are in, and we're seeing some of the same results. The corn is really taking off, and the stalk is really getting thick, but you can tell that it seems like it's going to, you know, break out with a lot of ears of corn. So it's something that we're really paying close attention to.
I'd like to see that video, if you guys got video for that.
And you will
see it. I'm trying to grow
corn,
that's one.
Oh, it's well, one thing we don't know why, but we do know the Earth Mister does a fantastic job of growing the corn. You know, for whatever reason, the corn just takes off, not just the height, but it's the thickness of the stalk and the amount of ears on there. And they're good ears, they're strong ears, you know. And so whatever it's doing, corn really likes it. And also tomatoes also like it too. For whatever reason, corn and tomatoes just really take off with the Earth Mister. And if you go on our website, you'll see a carrot on there. You know, and you'll see that's my hands hold it, and it takes two hands to hold this big carrot. Now, not that you can use or sell big carrots in the store, but the fact of the matter is that carrot was huge because it was right next to the Earth Mister, and it was right next to where the corn was growing, and the same thing with the cucumbers were just humongous. And so there's something going on there in that relationship that's really, you know, making these plants thrive. And so we really think that we're onto something, that the Earth Mister was giving it that natural growth and the deep root watering. You know, we think it's a combination of all the deep root watering, which brings your roots down, because remember, what's below the surface is what's on top, and the aeration that, you know, is responsive to not just the
roots. I really like that aeration, because that's one thing, especially with the lawn, that I just have never been able to get to. I mean, I'll water and sometimes fertilize and this and that, but I found myself never getting to the aeration. There's only a certain time to do it, from my understanding. You know, and I wish I was more of a lawn expert than I am, but I'm not. You know, so.
You can see it also when you do it. You can see it in the lawns because they start getting thicker, and the blades of the lawn get thicker. You know, so you can see the health. You know, and you just know that it's the aeration that's making it a healthy lawn.
Now, one thing I like to do here on my show, Rob, is, you know, there's people also who are in the chat, and sometimes they come in with questions, and so I like to, you know, bring them in too, because not everyone's comfortable with calling in to ask questions or make comments. And this person, it's a pseudonym, it's New Orleans Wake Up, and I believe this person also has a talk radio show, and they ask, how large is the company in terms of employees and locations?
Okay, the company right now is, in terms of employees, we have the people that process the material, but we only have a couple. It only takes a couple of people. Our overhead is very low because we have our part extruded on the outside, and we bring it in, and then we process it from there. And then right now we're selling factory direct, so we have a few salesmen, and then of course our management and our management team and our advisors, and that's what we have to go with right now.
Okay, well then, so what that tells me is there's, you know, plenty of room for expansion. You know what I mean? So,
well,
that's
exactly what we're doing. And when we brought on our new CEO, and we're really excited about that because of his reputation in the corporate world of not only just bringing in management structures and making corporations profitable, but also leading them into multi-million and billion-dollar businesses. So we're really excited to go out and get him from Novamont Ventures. Like I said, he came from Booz Allen, and he's taken the company into a great direction, and which is now we're building the management team of advisors and the staff. And, of course, like I spoke to you earlier about in the show, the vision of a service, you know, to supply not just the Earthmister, but the Earthmister with a service to reduce, manage the water, to reduce costs, to put money back in people's pockets, put money back in the budgets so these cities can get back on board and start hiring people again, or maybe they can get off their four-day work weeks and start working the people 5 days, because it's all about jobs for us, and we all need jobs, and we all need money. And we think Earthmister helps in that aspect, in putting in cutting costs and helping that to happen. And because when we go around the municipalities, we're going to present to them how we can cut their costs and where we're going to cut their costs and how we can service them. And then, therefore, they have, you know, other resources they can use their employees. And when they cut their budget, there's other things they can do for the people, their community, and things that they can do by hiring also. So we're real proud about that aspect of the Earthmister also. And we're real proud about bringing the CEO on to take us in a new direction and build the company, because it was about getting to a point, you know, with the company to grow to a point to be able to do that. We had to get a customer base out there. We had to prove ourselves. We had to validate the product, which we did all that, and we made sure that we were viable, and we made sure that we were profitable and that we had sales going before we would go out and try and land somebody like a Howard Rosenberg like we did. So we're really proud of that, and there's no doubt that we're going to grow real fast with the direction we're going. And so, you know, we just want to everybody out there to know that we are coming from the bottom up, and we appreciate everybody's support. And everybody's, you know, getting behind the Earthmister and a better way of watering, because that Earthmister, what we want to do is we want to change the way the world waters, because there's a better way to water now.
Well, definitely. And a conversation that you and I had at one point is, and I'm not a fearmonger by any stretch of the imagination, is that, you know, the possibility of, you know, future wars being based on water wars.
You know, that's, you know, and you don't really have to be a conspiracy theorist or a warmonger to make this deduction now. It's already been published out in magazines, in Discover magazine. I've read an article on how the next war can or probably will be fought over water. And people need to realize how serious this is, because as the world population grows and there's only 1% of the world's water that we can use, and we're already polluting some of that, these people don't have enough food, and it takes water. And so, therefore, in order to grow enough food, you need more water, and water has become a very precious resource. So, yes, the next war could definitely be over water. Or you can have an instance, and this isn't really far-fetched, you can have a country like China, who the United States is in debt to, and they could call in that debt and water. And people think that, you know, really far-fetched, but it's not as far-fetched as it sounds. And there is laws out there where they can absolutely say, okay, we're calling in our debt and water. And guess what? The United States would have to send, you know, containers and containers of water over
tankers
to China.
Yeah.
And, you know, China has a problem with their water. Most of it's polluted, and you know, you have a lot of people. So water is a critical issue over there. So what's to stop them from doing that? Or what's to stop somebody, you know, from using this water as a precious resource and not really bombing oil fields or bombing waters and dams? It's something that is really needed. You have the Middle East, you know, where this water is a scarcity over there. You know, they just don't have a lot of it. So I think that not being a warmonger, I think that is a very realistic fear, and the people of the United States really need to take heed to that, because water has really become a precious resource and a valuable, valuable commodity.
Okay, there's another question in here coming in from the chat. He asks, from which category are the bulk of your customers? Residential, schools, strip mall, complexes, small organic farmers, et cetera?
You know, we're in a cross-section, you know, and our first installations were in the turf and residential, you know, where it really excelled. It made a lot of sense for the residents to use the Earthmister, and the Earthmister worked really well in residential installs. And then we went to commercial, and it was the same thing where, you know, but on the commercial side of it, there's a lot more watering going on. So it's more money for the customer to save using Earthmister in commercials. So we went into that aspect of it, and we did a Founders Park for Anaheim. You know, they brought us in to do the irrigation there. So, you know, we went to that for the commercial. And then we started in the Raised Bed Gardens in last September, and that started at the Heirloom Show, or the National Heirloom Show up in Santa Rosa, California, or up north there. And we did an interview with a gentleman called John Kohler from Growing Your Greens, and he shows people. He's got a YouTube channel called Growing Your Greens, and he has almost 30,000 followers. And so we realized,
wow,
just with that, yeah, it's really amazing. And when you start looking into it, all of a sudden it became perfectly clear what an untapped market the raised bed garden market was. But it's more than that; it's a grassroots movement, and it's something that we really enjoy being involved with, because when you talk to people about growing, they're so passionate about growing their vegetables, and it's not just a hobby, it's a passion. And therefore, they see the value of the Earthmister. And I really think that everybody out there should have a raised bed garden, because it's just a helpful thing to do. It will get us back on track. It will make our immune system healthier, make us healthier as a person. And the Earthmister being the perfect irrigation system or delivery system for your raised bed garden, I think everybody in the United States should have one. They should be supplementing their own food on the table. And the Earthmister can do that, and they should grow around, you know, all year round, you know, be it if it's back there, then you put the tents or maybe in greenhouses or something. But it's something that I don't think is going to go away, that's just going to grow bigger. And it's something that we've really tapped into. And we're real passionate about the raised bed garden market and the people that are using it. It's a real grassroots movement that's really something that's raising up. And I think it got the attention of the government and Congress when they tried to outlaw growing their own food, and they tried to make it illegal for any American to grow their own food and share their own food with SB 510, which was just amazing. And I would say 90% of the people in America don't even know that happened. It's a bill that passed the House of Representatives, and it would have made it illegal, and they would take you to jail for growing your own foods. So that's something that we really need to take heed to, because it caught the attention of somebody. So the people are doing something right by this grassroots movement and growing their own food. Because you know what? There's a lot of ramifications to it.
What is it? It's SB...
SB 510.
510? Because the reason I ask is, you know, on a Thursday night, if you'd like, we could discuss this later, but just to let you know, I like to do some research on that, and then one of my Thursday shows, or maybe even a Wednesday show, you know, pending, is, I mean, we could kind of mix SB 510 with Agenda 21, you know, because it is definitely still a top-down, you know, because SB 10 sounds like it'll, you know, really, you know, coincide with, you know, an Agenda 21. It might even be part of Agenda 21. You know, for top-down control. And I'd really like to try to get some research done, if maybe if you could come in on a Thursday night and you can talk about that as well.
Yes, and you know, it's something that everybody needs to be aware of, because it is a top-down movement, you know, and it's just amazing, because, you know, growing your own food is critical. You know, it's critical to our survival. It's critical to our health, and it's something that, you know, when you catch the eye of a top-down government that wants to come in and put a foothold and stop you from doing that, you know that you have something going on that is really catching somebody's eye, and it's something that's serious. And I think that everybody out there should jump on board and look into growing your own vegetables in your own raised bed garden, and, of course, using the Earthmister as the delivery system for that, of course.
You can't do it as a part. That's what it's about, really, seriously.
It's a movement that we really need, because you've got a lot of your corporate, you have your Monsanto out there, and everybody knows about Monsanto and what they do and how they operate. And we don't need to talk about that, because I think everybody is educated. If not, just Google Monsanto and read about the nightmares. But it's something like that when you try to control the people and you try to take away their food that they can grow, take away their means of protection with their guns and things like that, it's something that, you know, it takes a grassroots movement to defeat. Therefore, we think that everybody out there should take heed and to start growing their own vegetables and to start supplementing their food supply and become healthier. If you have the attention of the big boys like that, then you know the movement is on its right direction.
Yeah, that's true, because actually, you know, some of the topics we talk about on, you know, on my shows and then some of my, you know, my friends' shows is we've actually had people, you know, call in and threaten us, and I've gotten threatening emails and things of that nature. So one of the things we say, well, if we got the notice of people who, you know, are against of what we stand for, then we must be doing something right.
Yeah, it's really funny because it's all about control and profits. And, you know, when you're growing your own food and you're supplementing your food supply, that's something that's helping you as an individual and it's helping your family, you know, because then you can have more money to spend in other places to do other things with your family, you know. So it's something that they see as a threat, but it's something that we should do just based on our health, because the nutritional value in our food has gone down by over 50% since 1932, and it's something that we need to take heed, because when you have your own raised bed garden and you're amending your own soil, you're using your organic nutrients, you're getting your health, the plants, and the nutrient value is now up again. So therefore, we're eating healthier foods, which means our immune system is now becoming in tune and becoming healthier. And so it's a movement that we really need to take heed, because if they're not going to, you know, grow the proper food that's going to make us healthy, that we need to take it upon ourselves to do it ourselves. You know, they'll tell you you need all kinds of healthy supplements. They'll tell you not to eat fast food. They tell you you need to eat healthy, but then they try to make it illegal to grow your own food. It doesn't make any sense. So growing your own food is definitely the way to go, and it's something that people should look into, because it's not like it was in the past when people would grow flowers or grow tomatoes. Now it's done with a passion, and it's done with a purpose, and I really enjoy being in on this movement, and because, you know, I have a couple of gardens myself now. And this
yeah, I'd like to get into it myself. I definitely would like to get into myself. You know, it's all
great.
About, you know, time management. So, but I've got two things from the chat as we wind things down, because we only got about, you know, 4 minutes here. Well, a little more than that. But
right.
One of it says, and I might be able to answer this, maybe not, says, are there any lobby groups in Washington advocating for this form of investment and environment? I don't think there is. But what have you seen any government investments in what you're trying to do?
No, I don't really think there are. You know, and I don't know if the government is really looking. You know, what you see is a lot of things in the solar, like, you know, even Solyndra. You know, and I think that's the classic case. You know, when you have this company, Solyndra, which is in your solar firm. And so everybody just jumped on that. And most of the people, your congressmen and your senators, you know, they, with their insider trading and their investment into Solyndra. And then when that went south, you know, you didn't hear anything from those type of people who lost a lot of money on that. But, you know, the people who lost a lot of money are also the people that voted for the money to bail Solyndra out. And when you look at Solyndra, you look at this big, awesome building, but state-of-the-art, you wonder what they were thinking. You know, why would you build something like that when you don't have a market for it yet? They build this state-of-the-art millions and millions of dollars without a market. It's just ridiculous. You can see what was going on. Even though I think a solar movement is important, I think that, you know, the government is doing that in a way where it just leaves it open for a lot of people to make money where they shouldn't on the government programs with your solar, because even that really hasn't worked yet. So as far as irrigation, no, they really haven't done anything towards that. You know, sometimes they'll give out their grants to test certain, you know, objects like, you know, some, maybe you have something that puts air in the bubbles or something that's a nutrient or something that maybe a pump, you know, but it's really nothing with a real good purpose for the farmers to grow the food. And remember, that's where our lifeblood is with the farmers, and especially like in the Central Valley of California, where most of the food is grown for the United States right there in California. And yet, the Congress in California will shut the water off to half the people in the Central Valley because, you know, of whatever political reason they want to put on it, be it little middle fish or whatever, you know, it's politics, and therefore they shut the water off, and these farmers aren't growing food. To me, the most, you know, important resource is water and food for our survival. So when you do things like this, you know, it just makes you believe that what's going on, is there really a care for that, or is it just all about, you know, where is the insider trading or money going for whatever project that we can get going? Because water being a precious resource, you would think would be the most, you know, sought after, you know, what can you do for us to save this precious resource to grow better food, not just your solar energy that really hasn't been working to this point. I'm sure it will at one point in time, but it just hasn't really been able to take off. And therefore, I think a focus needs to be refocused to help people to grow food, like the raised bed gardens, like the farmers, initiatives for farmers. You know, the environmentalists maybe lighten up a little bit on the farmers because the farmers are good people trying to grow food. And after all, what they're trying to do is feed us. And so they're people that we really need to take care of. And this is what the Earth Minister does. Because we can come in and we can save them water and we can, you know, cut their costs and grow and help them grow better food. But, you know, you would think that our government would have a big push for this, but they don't.
No, no, not this time. And, you know, I mean, I could get real political about it, but, you know, right now, but unfortunately, you know, time is running out. And then also it's not a question, it's just suggesting reading, and you might have already read the book. It's called, and I'm not familiar with it, I hate to say, but it's called The Seeds of Destruction, The Hidden Agenda of Gene Manipulation by William Engdahl, E-N-G-D-A-L-H. Just, you know, someone added that in the chat, and I like to include the, you know, the people in the chat also, you know, in the conversation. It says, this book talks a lot about Monsanto and genetically modified food and replacement of original seeds with the genetically engineered seeds. And what I'd like to do is, since it is low on time, I only got, you know, about 5 minutes left, and there's a closing song I really like to play at the end of the song. It's real, real nice, some real nice music. But actually, what I'd like to do is, if I can have you back some time to talk about some other subjects to suggest, as well as talking about genetically modified foods and seeds, because that is a topic that, you know, outside of this forum here that I know you and I have talked about briefly, and I'd really like to get into it again, especially maybe like on a Thursday night or something like that when we do talk about these type of issues.
That would be great, because that's a great subject that, you know, you have proponents on both sides, although I think most of the proponents is on the non-GMO side, but it's a great subject, and you know, both sides can present a very good argument. However, I just don't think that, you know, it should be totally genetically modified, and I think it needs to be defined on what's being modified, because you can take something that's good as far as genetically modifying it, because, you know, maybe it's something that really needs it, and it's also safe, you know, but they take it to a new level in their genetic modifications, and that's why I think it needs to be designed. And not only that, but genetically modified organisms, they need to be labeled, so at least we have a choice. We go into the store, whether we're going to buy a genetically modified organism or not. And as long as it's labeled and we have a choice, I think that's just the way America is. And after all, it's freedom of choice, and I think that's what we need. But the government hasn't gone that way as far as making the labels. And I think, once again, you're looking at politics and a lot of money in Washington that are doing that. But it would be a great subject to discuss with you, yes.
Yes, definitely. Well, I'm going to have to start to close down shop here. And I thank you very much for coming in. If you'd like to give a last plug in for the website before I shut things down, go ahead.
Okay, and I want to thank you for having me, Robert, because it's been a pleasure in talking and getting the fact that the Earth Minister is out there and exists. And please, if you're listening to this program, go to www.globaleco.soil.com. And remember, when you go there on the front page, to click on our YouTube logo, so we'll take you to our videos where we got about 35 videos of different installations that you can also see and get a good idea of how the Earth Minister works. And I want to thank you once again, Robert, for having me on.
Oh, well, thank you once again. I can't wait to have you on again. I think we got a lot of subjects that, you know, that we can cover. And also, I'd like to, you know, for the people who could be listening to this on archives, I will also be doing a rebroadcast of this show on this Friday evening at the same time from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And I look forward again to having Robert and his subsurface pressurized irrigation on again. Thank you, everyone, for coming, both listening live now. We'll be listening on the archive and those who are in the chat. And have a good evening, and please enjoy the closing music, and I will speak to you later, Rob. Take care.
Thank you, Robert.